And what's very interesting about him is that the kind of roles he plays, sometimes you don't... And when you listen to him being interviewed, you realize... I mean, this is a very intelligent man. This is an intellectual you're dealing with here. And the way he carries himself. And he talked about, you know, he remarried, and this very... this new wife is very... she's a lot more calmer than Gilda Radner. And,
that's easy.
And he said something... you know, he's like, I'm very happy with my life now. I'm very happy and everything. You know, going with Gilda through the cancer and everything. And Gilda was very demanding, but not. But I had to always take care of her. And she doesn't need me that much. And the person said, well, okay, that's it. The kind of person was like, was not to say that the times I had with Gilda, I would ever give them up or anything. I needed them more than anything in my life. Understand, it's just a different time, but those times were just as special, and I would never change that. His ability to get both, I think it goes back to what you said about his ability. He's in this childlike fun amusement park, but that's still that duality. Mm-hmm. This is a child man who's stuck. He's in arrested development. He's sad. He wants that joy of childhood, and he's willing to be this strange character in this town to get that. His ability to see that sadness in that character, where I believe other lesser well-read or will not be able to get it. I think it's Wilder's ability to that background in reading, thinking, literature.
Yeah, you have to be intelligent. You have to be
that kind of depth.
Emotionally intelligent. And you wouldn't be able to find that in the text so much.
Mm-hmm.
You could.
Yeah, exactly.
You could invent it in the subtext, and it's kind of seeing the woods, the trees, whatever it is, the trees, the woods. But it's like you could read the lines. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, nothing in the lines says this, mm-hmm. but then you have to take the story as one thing,
mm-hmm.
And say, what is the author telling? You know, there's so much dissection that goes on in the scripts. We spent weeks on dramaturgy.
Or separately, like do you?
Both. We had 4 weeks of rehearsal. We had 3 or 4 weeks of what we call dramaturgy, which is essentially just sitting down, it's the paperwork, homework, and just reading the text, explaining things, going off of hunches, bouncing ideas back and forth. A very just brainstorming type of deal. Which is a luxury that we had in this company that you don't get with a lot of shows. A lot of shows, you get 4 weeks of rehearsal and we put it up.
Okay.
Right. And a lot of directors won't put an emphasis on that.
Mm.
They'll just,
so you
like,
all
get the
just
lines
go home and read it on your own and then come back?
No, we will. It's structured like a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. That it would be 3 or 4 times a week together. Or for a couple purposes, but it's mostly to understand the play, understand the story, understand what each character is doing in each scene,
mm-hmm.
how he's going to get what he's looking for, get that all down,
mm-hmm.
organized, so that when we get to rehearsals, the lines are down, the objectives understood,
mm-hmm.
The story's understood, the details of what the green line is, where Beirut is, that's all understood. So we can get down to the business, the emotional life of the character, telling the story. And you don't really get that luxury often. That's why I enjoy working with this ensemble.
Sounds a lot like the analyzing
here.
And bringing up the text. I mean, I think that's such an essential part. I would assume that would be so important. I mean, these are plays that you're doing. These are...
Yeah.
So you've got to read this and understand what's going on and what's the deeper messages, the inferences that you can make that's not directly in there, but you being the cognizant individual artist that you are, you could see it. Like, I know why this guy is like this. I get it. I get him.
Yeah, and some things aren't written down.
Exactly.
And you, as the actor, have to invent it. Or you, with your fellow actors, have to invent, like, things that are... I remember I Alexander Hellquist, who played opposite I.
Yeah.
We got together at least once, maybe a couple times, and we chatted about things that are referenced in our relationships that more or less don't have an impact on the physical story of the show. But why the hell not? You know, if anything, it gains our relationship as two actors together, but we were able to infuse that into something more emotional and romantic, that, like, we had this wedding. And it was outside, it was a barbecue style, we went to the beach, it was Virginia Beach. Like, we have a collective history. You're allowed that in theater to this kind of time.
So tell me, who came up with the nose, touching the nose?
No. I don't know when you saw it, but I think that must have been the only night that
really?
I did that.
Okay, but so the director, so it was you. It came out of you. So what is that? That was beautiful. It just, I'm like, oh, this is so sweet. The way you did it, they're so in love.
You mentioned that on the phone, and I had to recall. And I believe that, you know, if you saw the performance a couple times, it would look choreographically very different.
Okay.
We do not choreograph, first of all. There's no point in the director being like, at this point, I want you to circle around her, pour some tea, and then give it to her on this line.
Okay, a lot of freedom.
There's a big emphasis on the same place theater of the actor's freedom. So, like, it may not be the most polished piece of art that you find, but it is as real as you're probably going to get in the city. So that, it's hard for some people to get, because a lot of people come from a very structured theater. Musical theater is often like that, because there's steps to follow, you know. And it's very, all of a sudden you're just treading water to be like, okay, so what do I do? Do whatever the hell you want to do. You know, if you're so frustrated, you want to walk to the other side, walk off stage and say the lines from off stage, fine. So with that freedom, something to adjust to.
Great.
But I don't know. I mean, it was nothing more than an impulse. I wanted to, what we wanted to create in that scene is finally some normalcy in our life. I wanted to create what we looked like in college when we met.
Yeah, I think that, and the audience, they were craving for it. And I think you picked up, it was so happy.
Everyone's craving for it.
Yeah.
You just need that, a little bit of that moment in the end is a little bit of resolution.
Yeah.
It's not the happiest resolution, but there is some. And that she finds some sort of solace.
Yes.
So, I'm glad you picked up on it.
I thought it was very lovely, and it was very telling. And just, again, going back to where it's those subtleties, those subtle moments, and then you can see this is skill, this is talent, this is that extra, more the sum of their parts kind of moment, where if a person can find that, they're able to get that just tells you you got somebody above the rest. I mean, it goes back to It's how I remember, again, the passing of Philip Seymour Hoffman hit me very hard. I was a major, major fan of his, a believer in his works. As an artist, as a creator, and also a person, a storyteller in theater.
And that's another a bold actor there.
Oh.
You know.
Well, he was, you're not going to get, and I'm cool of not keeping you too much. I'll just end this right now. With going back to that moment where you did it with Lainey, it was this movie, it was called Owning Mahoney. It wasn't one of his biggest, it was early, very first of one. I don't know if you ever saw it.
Owning Mahoney.
Owning Mahoney.
Owning Mahoney.
Yeah.
I don't, I'll have to look it up.
And I just happened to catch the scene where he, a Minnie Driver's in it, and he's a man who's a gambling addict, and he's works at a bank, and he's really come up with this amazing technique of take all this money from the bank and go to the Vegas, and he's going to make a lot of money, and he's rebuilding it, building, and his attention and everything is all there. And there's this one scene, and she's getting worried about him. She's sensing something's not right with him. He's in the shower. Now, this is Philip Seymour Hoffman, and you know his body. And she's like, I need to talk to you, I need to talk to you. She goes into the bathroom, and the curtain falls, and then she just with the curtain, right? And there he is standing there, stark naked. His first response is, he goes like this. He covers himself. And I just thought that was so amazing that that was his, you, his, what are you hiding? You're yarning here. I mean, but the impulse to go there, and he knew to go there because this man was, there was a lot of shame and fear and hiding that came with the character, but also knowing that that would be a response of someone who is heavy. The first response would be one of, like a whisper, like, oh my god. It was that, just that it's in your that is that moment where he was able to convey so much information and understanding and sympathy for this character who was just, you know, the criminal, and he's going to ruin people's lives. Those moments when I saw you do that, and I thought, it's just so very human and so telling. That moment when he did that, it was like, my god, this guy loved her so much. And they were just kids, and they were just so in love with each other, and that's all they ever wanted. And they just, this was a love story in this horrendous, cruel world. It just took that away from them. That's what I got from that moment.
I'm glad you picked so much up, and it's like half of the acting. I mean, a lot. I mean, not half. I don't know. Not to talk percentages. The nose touch. Philip Seymour Hoffman's. These are just instinctual things.
Yeah.
But that we're not. You know, I doubt if he like looked in his script. Cover myself up here. But there's if you get shocked, if someone claps behind you or wakes you up suddenly, you're going to have a start. A lot of things that people pick up in performances are things that the actors will do because they're undecided on, right, ahead of time. They're not premeditated, but since they're so much in that moment, right, their body will react as like a fly, you know. Here, like we do things conversationally, but the director's not telling me to use my hand this way.
Gotcha.
So a lot of things people will pick up on is like the director and the actor decided at this moment this would be a wonderful thing, and they rehearsed it, and it was beautiful. Sometimes it was the 17th take, and he decided to you know, there was a noise something, and it made him look nervous. That's the art, because they're just allowing themselves.
But it's the allowing of self. That's what I,
it's relaxation and allowance is a lot with the basis.
And letting go. I would say really a lot of letting go of the fears and self-consciousness.
Easier said than done.
Of course.